The value of one. I want to talk about the significance of one. Now, when we go to the grocery store or we go to, the convenience store, you'll find a cup sometimes on the counter, and it will have a penny or a nickel in it that you can throw in there and or you can take. And so a penny, some people walk past them on the ground. Other people will stop and pick them up. A penny in relation to a dollar is not a big amount, but I want us to understand this. In God's economy, one person is of huge value. God doesn't throw away a penny or a person. He has incredible worth and value built into one person. And Jesus tells a story about, it's a parable about the shepherd and 100 sheep. 99 of them are safe. They're in the pen. They're good. They're hanging together. The shepherd watches over them. But the story tells us there's one outside the sheep pen. And here's what the shepherd does. The shepherd leaves the 99. And he goes after the one. Why? Because this parable reflects and shows us the heart of God in relation to one person who is lost and may not have faith in him. The shepherd goes after that sheep. And the parable, the story says that when he finds that sheep, he puts the sheep on his shoulder and carries the sheep back to safety. But that's not all. The shepherd then calls his friends and neighbors together, and they celebrate because the one who was lost is now found and is inside the sheep pen. So as we think about Easter, and one study says that 63 to 85% of people, if you invite them for an Easter service, would be likely to say yes. It's the greatest holy day or Christian day in the calendar that people might be willing to come. Well, they'll come for Christmas and other things, but Easter's at the top. So I want us to understand, as we talk about the value of one, listen, we are on assignment as a church family. And I got to tell you, everybody here is a shepherd to somebody that's not here. And so let's talk about three different thoughts, truths about the value of one in this story about the 99 sheep and the one that was lost. Turn to your notes. Number one, the first point is this. The shepherd takes the initiative to find the lost sheep. The shepherd does not wait for the sheep to come to him. The shepherd goes to the sheep. Read with me verses 3 and 4 in your notes. Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? God is a pursuing God. Do you realize that God has been pursuing you and me for years? He's in pursuit of people and they don't even know it. They're not listening. What I've come to realize, oftentimes while God pursues us, we do not listen well. You know, in the Bible, I just have to say this, sheep are not real smart creatures. They're kind of slow at times. They're just, that's who they are. That's how we are, how I am. But the point is this, the shepherd is pursuing sheep. And you know what happens? This is what I found. If life is good, I'm not a very good listener. I don't know, I'm too preoccupied. Life's good. I'm going forward. I'm doing okay. But listen, when a crisis hits my life, I'm in pain, something happens I didn't expect, all of a sudden, I'm a better listener. As a matter of fact, I can get desperate. That's happened to me. It may have happened to you. But the point is, the shepherd is pursuing sheep. The Holy Spirit is pursuing the people that aren't here, that they would listen to him and they would hear his voice. I read a story about a little boy by the name of Alan. He was at 5 years old. He asked his parents for a dog. And they said no, but on his 9th birthday, they got Alan a dog, and they named him Rover. So Alan and Rover became good buddies. And Alan would go to school, and then Rover would be there when he got home, and they just had an amazing relationship. And one day, when Alan got out of school, he got home and Rover wasn't there. And he thought, well, maybe he's just off doing something. And Alan began to search for Rover. Couldn't find him. I mean, he went all over town. The parents got in their car and they drove Alan around all the streets. They still couldn't find him. They checked in different shelters, or they looked all over the place, and no Rover. Alan was brokenhearted because he was a good friend. He was just a close connection. Weeks went by, and there was no Rover. One day, Alan got out of school, and he begins to walk home. And he looks up, and a couple blocks away, he sees a dog covered in mud. He wasn't sure who it was, but he realized it was Rover. He had his backpack on, and that was slowing him down, so he just took it off and flung it to the side, and Alan ran towards Rover. And there was Rover, full of mud, half-starved, full of fleas, but Alan didn't care. He hugged his dog, because Rover was back. The shepherd runs after people, pursues them, so that we could somehow, the shepherd can bring them back into the fold. And I want you to understand this morning, you are a shepherd to people that aren't here. You are a shepherd to lead people, to care for them in a way you may not have thought of yourself about. God has assigned people to you that you are seeking and pursuing to help bridge them to faith in Christ. In Mark chapter 2, there's a great story about people pursuing or trying to get someone to Jesus. Read with me Mark chapter 2 in your notes. Some men came, bringing him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Here's a great story. You know what it's about? It's a team of people carrying one guy who's paralyzed to get him into the presence of Jesus so his sins could be forgiven and he could be healed physically. Now, I share this story for this reason. Sometimes it's a team effort in getting the lost sheep. Sometimes it takes more than one, and that's okay. Maybe it's individual, but a lot of times it takes a group of people loving on the same person, praying for them, so that they would come, find the presence of Jesus, be forgiven of their sins, and find healing. But here's this key thought. The shepherd takes the initiative. We don't wait for people to come to us. You and I have to be a mouthpiece to them where they're at. Here's a quote. Taking initiative is a form of self-empowerment. In the Great Commission, Matthew 28, when Jesus, before he goes to heaven, said this, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Let me tell you what that means. His authority becomes your authority. Go and make disciples. There's a download of assignment. There's a download of power. There's a download of a sense of mission that Christ gives to each of us to be a shepherd to people that aren't here. And so we find it's empowerment, and I want you to leave here today with a sense of assignment. You are a shepherd, and you are empowered by God Himself to look for the lost sheep in your sphere of influence to make a difference in their lives. Okay. Point number one. Point number two. The shepherd then carries the sheep back to safety. Now, read with me verse 5a, 5 and 6a on the back of your sermon listening guide. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. When I read this the past few days, it struck me in a new way, and I maybe hadn't figured this out or really realized. When the shepherd found the sheep, he literally carried it back. You may be here today, and you need to be carried. What does that mean? Your pain and hurt is great on the scale, and you're in a place where you need something you cannot do yourself. Let me tell you, Jesus will carry you if you let him. There's people out there that need to be carried, like the paralytic guy. He could not get there on his own. So what does it mean for you and me to carry somebody? Maybe it's giving them a ride to church. Maybe it's speaking a word of encouragement over and over again. Maybe they're in grief. They lost a loved one, a husband, a wife, or somebody in their family, and they're just in hurt, a world of hurt. And to carry somebody means you and I are willing to invest our time into helping that person. The shepherd carried the sheep back to safety. Be prepared over the next 2 weeks to carry somebody. I don't know what shape or form that takes, but it means you're investing yourself into that person to love them and to bring them to a place where they could find their own faith in Christ. Now, here's a quote. I love this one. It shows the value of one. Jesus left the 99 to save the one lost, which is me. Now, you may have been in the faith a long time, and there's some people here that have. But you know what? We were once lost, all of us, at one point. We were once the one, and we were not a part of the 99. And so when you realize the value of one sheep, that was you and me at some point in our life. We were out there. We were wanderers. We didn't have our act together. We're trying to figure life out. We were out there. But the shepherd is willing to carry sheep who are lost back into the pen that they can be safe. All right. Point number three. The shepherd takes the initiative. The shepherd can carry the sheep to safety. Number three, the shepherd invites the sheep into the community of people. The shepherd invites people, listen, to a new place of living. Now, read with me Luke 15, 6b in your notes. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." The shepherd, when he found one lost sheep, calls his neighbors and friends together, and they somehow all join up. And you know what he does? He celebrates. Now, let me stop here and say this. We are that group of friends and neighbors. We're called a church family. And when new sheep come into this body, there's adjustments that have to be made. And let me just say this. You and I as a church family need to be loving and embrace people who are different, who are rough around the edges, who may not be like us, they may not talk like us, but they're there. And you know what? That's called community. Now, we as a church family are responsible to love the new entry into the family. And sometimes it's hard work. But I want you to understand, put aside any barrier or restriction of a new person coming in. Some people may not be real lovable. They may have an attitude. They may have language issues. Their lifestyle may not be what we want it to be. Who knows? All kinds of things. But we love people because that's what the Great Shepherd does. Many of you remember the TV show Cheers and the theme song. And I listened to the theme song yesterday, and everybody here could probably sing along with it. And it's just one of those jingles that's in our head. But I want to share with you just a few stanzas of the actual wording of the song. Here's what it says. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be there where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. The setting is a bar. You know why bars are popular in America and around the world? It's called community. You're around other people like you. You're going to trust them. You can share a secret, and you don't think it's going any further. And someone has written that, in fact, the bar is a counterfeit to the church family. You know why? It's centered around maybe a beer or two or some alcohol where you're very loose and you're casual. And there's an escape factor that if you drink a little bit, you can kind of escape the problems and the pain. And let me tell you, the church family is a community of people. We have a high that we don't need any kind of alcohol or beer. Jesus is our high. And when you love people in a positive way, we are that higher level body to other people. But the reason people go to bars or other clubs is community. Somebody has said that we are hardwired as a human being to belong somewhere. It's true. Everybody here and everybody in Walton that's not here wants to belong somewhere, and they will go to a bar or someone else or a church until it clicks. The reason the church is the prize is because of what Christ can do in their life and for them in making them the best version of their own self. But I want you to notice that when somebody comes in and you have a 99 people on the inside and there's a newbie, there's an adjustment. It's called loving people in a way and helping them grow and mature in Christ. Bill Hybels says this: if you want to enjoy life, you need two things. You need to do life with people that love you. That's great, isn't it? Can't go wrong with that one. But here's the second thing. You live on mission to accomplish something with the people that love you. It's called the purposes of God. It's the things that we talked about earlier, about the church being on mission. Let me tell you, when you get connected up to a group of people you feel good about, and there's this thing of community. Community is a group of people with common characteristics, identity, or purpose. When you get that part going, and then there's a purpose that you plug into of doing something using your gift to serve other people, let me tell you, you're going to feel good about yourself. That's what the church is all about. I want to thank you, the church family. I said last year, 2023, was one of my best, most fulfilling years here. Some years are better than others. That one was way up there. 24 is off to a great start. I want to thank you for being willing to graft new people in and be on mission in our community and in our world to make a difference. Let me tell you, that's bullseye. That's just like way cool. I'm excited about what can happen this year. So when we find people that love us, and then we're on mission together to accomplish something, it just doesn't get any better than that. So three things. The shepherd, takes the initiative. I got to tell you, you are a shepherd. In the next 2 weeks, you need to take initiative to pursue a lost sheep. Number two, the shepherd carried the sheep to safety. Literally put them on his shoulders. Whatever that means to the person you're trying to reach, spend and invest time into loving them and caring for them. And number three, the shepherd invites the sheep into the community. We need to embrace them. And here's a quote. I'm going to have Joe put it up. Community is much more than belonging to something. It's about doing something together that makes belonging matter. Isn't that true? I tell you, it's just, you want a good feeling, just do something together in the kingdom and make a difference. So conclusion, here it is. Read this with me, verse 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You know what goes on in heaven when one person who is lost comes to faith in Christ? There's a celebration and a rejoicing in heaven. The angels just, there's a party. Because one that is lost, the value of one, is so important to God himself. So, I don't know if you picked one of these up on the way in. It's an invite card. This is one side, it says Easter. And shows the service times in the back side. It just says, come and celebrate Easter. If you didn't get one on the way in, take one or more on the way out. But here's my request. Everybody takes at least one. It's the value of one. And I want you to pray and say, God, who do you want me to go out and invite? Who do you want me to pursue? Who do you want me to love on? Who do you want to make a difference in their life? You pray about it. And then you do it. And so take at least one, maybe you want to take more, and let God use you, listen, to be a shepherd to somebody else. Invest in them, pray for them, that they would come into the community and be a part of the body and become the best version of themselves possible. So 2 weeks from today's Easter, we're looking forward for an awesome day. The dinner follows in the afternoon. We're just going to have a good day together. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. And would you please bow, and let's just take a few moments before the Lord. So in this story, it says that the Pharisees said that Jesus welcomed sinners. They didn't like that. But that's who Jesus is. So he's a welcoming Savior. So the first question to ask is, in your own heart, have you come to the place of just trusting Christ for the forgiveness of sins, allowing him into your life, and letting him live in you in a new way? I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer that if your heart is not there yet, maybe today's the day you'll make that decision. You can pray silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me, a lost sheep. I confess I've wandered and tried to live life apart from you. Forgive me. I believe you died on a cross and rose again, and you're alive forevermore. By faith, I open the door of my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ into my life. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. In your name I pray. And Father, I now pray for every person here that you'll make us all shepherds. We're on assignment. We're on mission. We are empowered. We have a God-ordained purpose to go look for people that are not here that you want to bring into the sheep pen. I ask you for favor for every invite that's made by this church family, every one of them, that hearts would be soft and people would respond favorably. And Father, on Easter Sunday, 2 weeks from today, you will just fill this place with new people that would hear a message that can change their life. So Lord, go with us now. Give us a new mission in life. Give us a new purpose to live for, a sense of being a blessing and a shepherd to other people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.